Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now tonight, my special edition guest, return guest, is Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She's an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, successful lives. Her three books are The Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head. They will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. To schedule past life exploration or learn more about her books, go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com. That's MaryLouMcIntyre.com. So, once again, Mary Lou, how are you tonight?
Well, David, I am just wonderful, celebrating this wonderful, glorious time of year when everybody is relating to sharing and loving and just being at peace.
That is wonderful. And what I wonder is what keeps a lot of us from doing that the rest of the year? I mean, it's a good jump start for us, but if we can stay present in that place, and just enjoy and revel in the peace and love and joy also throughout the year, wouldn't that make us happier and healthier and more successful?
Absolutely. And I think that's why we have to keep coming back, reincarnating after reincarnating, and until we learn how to do that. And start functioning through our higher self, our divine essence, rather than ego and greed and confusion.
Well, that makes sense to me, you know. And it's amazing. Things of the spirit do tend to make sense. And as humans to complicate the bejesus out of things. Maybe that's why we get things all mucked up so much of the time.
Well, that's right. And we have that seed of perfection within us. That's how we were created, to be perfect. And we're striving to be perfect. And that's why in one of my books, I try to help people. It's the book Fast Road to Happiness, and it's about my experiences as a regressionist and how people have been helped to release phobias and fears and irrational behavior through releasing things from past lives. Whether they believe in past lives or not, if they're open to considering the possibility that that might be true, that 90% of the religions that believe that's true are true, and will at least investigate it. They can get that release and find the healing. I have one chapter, or not a chapter, I just want to read one little paragraph from
sure.
chapter three that will kind of give the people an idea of how this book can help. When a past life incident causes dysfunction, it is sometimes difficult to heal, such as in the case of this one individual who came in for a regression because she had been bothered all her life by terrible attacks of asthma and allergies. She had trouble breathing for as long as she can remember. No matter what medications or treatments she tried, nothing helped. But by now, she was plagued with not only asthma and allergies, but also claustrophobia and paranoia. She was already a basket case, though only in her 20s. And the doctors were confounded, and she declined more every day. And we had to fix her. And this woman went back into a lifetime in Egypt, where she was buried with Cleopatra in the pyramid and watched Cleopatra getting bitten by the asp and the whole thing, and she was hanging on to that. That had become part of her cellular memory and DNA. And so she had to realize that that was back there and then and had nothing to do with here and now. And when she was able to do that, it was amazing. Everything cleared up.
Mm.
So it's just, and the book is, full of evidential stories like that and steps telling people how they can even regress to appropriate past lives for themselves. But if they can't, they can always contact me and I can help them.
Wonderful. And is the best way for them to contact you through your website?
Yes, it is, David. There is actually a page where they, can give me their name and when they would like to have a reading, if they want to have a reading, and we can make an appointment and, work it out there. And I'd like to tell your listeners that I was impressed to offer a special dispensation on my readings via the phone to only $50. For a half hour, that's a 25% Christmas or holiday dispensation from now until the end of the year, and all they have to do is indicate that they're a David listener, and then they get the dispensation.
Generous.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
So that's my gift to the world.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank
well.
You.
Mary Lou, we've talked before, but we may have some new listeners tonight. Would you just tell us briefly how it is that you came to start reading the Akashic Records and what that was like for you?
Oh, my goodness. I had been seeking all my life for a reason for being and thinking that there was something out there, some intelligence that we could tap into for guidance and knowledge. And it took practically all my life before I was finally guided to a source of knowledge that truly altered my life and helped me get rid of, through the truth that came through this particular individual, as a scientifically tested and proven genuine medium, that many of the principles of truth that I had accepted through other religions that I connected with that were not necessarily true, and I just started filling myself with principles of truth and getting rid of, you know, fears and things like that. And then I finally realized that I had really moved into a different level of consciousness and didn't have the blockages and problems and confusion that I had earlier. And so I started reaching out for ways where I could help people that the medical profession seemed unable to help, because I became so aware of the failure in many cases of, you know, doctors and psychiatrists not being able to help people with their cut and sew and pill method. So I started having dreams of my own past lives. And I wasn't interested in that at all. And so I had a little discussion with my guide that I was telepathically in contact with and said, I don't want to know about my past lives. I'm trying to cope, you know, and move through this lifetime. And so finally they convinced me that my method of being able to help people would be through past life regressions. Well, David, this was back in, you know, archaic times in our lifetime. It was very early, and people weren't even talking about their dreams, let alone, you know, past lives or anything like that. And so I knew absolutely nothing about how to do that. And I was assured through my guide that they would take me through the exercises that would open and align my chakras and enable me to do this. And so for about 6 months, three times a day, I would go into a one-hour training session, so to speak, you know, with the exercises and the meditation. And eventually they said, okay, now you're ready. Well, it was only because they said I was ready that I did try it, and with one of my students, and it turned out to be very successful. It was long. It took a long time. Initially, these regressions would take me like 2.5 hours with people.
Wow.
With, you know, an individual. Oh, yeah, to go back and then to go into detail about everything. Now I have it down to about 1 hour, because my technique has improved to where I can help the person, you know, move through time and space to the past life. However, now I don't even do regressions, but I do past life readings. And that was another whole innovation for me. And that happened on a talk show where I was talking about, you know, regressions and past lives. And somebody called and asked if I could help her overcome a major problem and give her a reading. And I said, well, I had never done that. I've given readings to people face-to-face, but never just over the phone, you know. I said, I don't know if my guides can, you know, make a connection with your vibration. And she said, please try. And so I did. And sure enough, there I was, zipped right to the Akashic Records and her Book of Life, and I told her what her problem was, what she should release to get on to, you know, find her happiness and fulfillment. And sure enough, it worked. And so ever since then, I've been giving telephone communications or reading to people all around the world. And it's been a wonderful experience.
Well, would you be ready to do that on the show now?
Well, I certainly would be. I would be delighted to help anyone who gives a call.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Keep in mind, folks, that you need to, in order for Dr. McIntyre to go to Significant Life where you can obtain some healing, you need to let her know what your major life issue is, what your major problem, your fears are, so that she can pinpoint the in the book of life which life to take you to. So our first caller is Jenna, and I'm bringing her live. And Jenna, say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre. How are you?
I'm fine, Jenna. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, good. That's what we want to know. So how can I help you?
So something I've struggled with in this life is not necessarily an external fear, but just kind of just a lack of confidence and self-worth and kind of direction in my life. And it's funny that I got in touch with you because I feel that it does have something to do, like I almost, like it does have something to do with the past life. So I'm not quite sure where that comes from.
All right. Now, it's a lack of confidence and direction. Is that what is causing distress in your life? Well, you know, I tell people, you can't accept the fact that you really were created in God's image, then you have to learn to accept that. And you can do that. Now, I'm not giving you a reading. I'm just telling you a little exercise that you can do on top of whatever knowledge I'm able to share with you. Just look in the mirror and say, I am divine. I am created by perfection to be perfection. Talk to yourself. Love yourself. And that will also build confidence, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Will you do that?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Jenna, I get that you have been a nun in many, many lifetimes. You've been searching for God and perfection for many lifetimes. And that's why in this lifetime you feel a lack, because you still don't feel that you, you know, have found the answers. Are you aware that you have been a religious nun in many lifetimes?
No, I am not.
You haven't related to that at all? Okay, well, I assure you they have pulled down your book of life, which is gold-bordered. So you're very special lady, and you're here in this lifetime to do something very special. But first of all, you have to realize that you're very special.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever it is, well, and it's, oh my goodness, you were a nun during the Crusade, and you were so against, oh, you were in Rome. You were a nun at the Vatican, and that's where all the evils that took place that perpetuated the greed and the horror of the Crusades and what was that actually happening, supposedly in the name of God. And you tried so hard to convince all the bishops that you were able to contact, but you were, you know, you were just a nun. You taught little kids, you know, in school. So they didn't really pay any attention to you. and it left a very strong, well, like a scar. I see like a scar right across your heart that you knew this was wrong. You knew sage were not of good in God. You just knew that. And you were right, of course. But you were also rejected and told to, you know, keep your mouth shut and not talk like that, because that wasn't true. Of course, that's what they're going to tell you, because they love the looting and raping and killing. So terrible things to say, but it's true. And humanity at large is still struggling with those problems. But with you have to realize that you recognized what was wrong. You have that ability to recognize what is not of the highest and best, what is not of good in God, what is not right and beneficial, that, you know, will bless and help people. You have to know that you have that ability, and that if you have confidence in yourself and you realize that you're in a position now, Jenna, that you are not surrounded with all this evil and wrongdoing and conscious, deliberate, you know, acts of, well, non-spiritual acts, let me put it that way, to be kind, and that you have the ability to reach out with honor and truth to help people. But you have to know that you have that ability, and you can develop that just by telling yourself that you have that ability, that you are of good in God, that you love God and serve humanity, and you have the right to all the blessings in life. Can you remember to do that?
Yes, I can.
And just, you know, well, then just tell yourself, okay, I'm over it. I'm glorious. Hallelujah.
Thank
God bless
so much.
You, Jenna. I wish you the best.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah.
Okay, God bless, Jenna. Have a beautiful night and a Merry Christmas. If
you
that's
too.
The holiday you celebrate.
Thanks, you as
there
well.
You
thank
go.
You.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to move on to Diana. Hello, Diana. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Say hello to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Diana. Good to hear from you.
You too. I'm glad you're on. Even before
Thank
Christmas.
You.
Thank you. I don't really have any fears. I only have one pain. I have some left hip pain, more like an anterior muscle. Is that from this life or some other time? Or can you tell?
Well, you can tell if it's from this life. Did you fall
well,
down
feels like
or
it's
anything
this life.
That
yeah,
would
oh,
cause
yeah.
that? What?
Well, I did fall down, and if it's from the fall, it came late. It came like 3 weeks after fall.
Well, it didn't sound... Well, did you fall on your hip? Did you say it's your hip?
Yeah. It was part of what fell. The whole left side of the body got hit.
Oh,
at that point, the leg didn't hurt at all. So I don't know why this leg thing had come up. So
okay, did it?
You know,
did it
I'll just
hurt?
Diana. It didn't hurt.
Diana.
Yes.
Did it hurt before you fell?
No. No, usually
okay.
It's my right side that hurts.
You kind of have an aching body, it sounds like. Why
yeah.
did the right side hurt?
Oh, the right side had all kinds of injuries. car accidents and everything. Everything used to pick on my right side. But I managed to heal it all up real nice and good. So I was surprised that the left side started hurting.
Okay, so now the left side is starting to hurt. Is that it?
It must be, but it's only the hip. It's not the whole leg.
No, tell me, is your left side now starting to hurt?
Yeah, the left hip.
Okay. Oh, just the hip. Okay, well, what I'm getting from my little guide that pulls out the appropriate book of life, and he has turned to, let's see, to a page. You were in England. It was during the French Revolution. And you were one of the leaders of the, like the upheaval, the, you know, the citizens raging against the wealth and the politician and the reigning strength there to try to get, you know, equal rights and appropriate, you know, food and work and that type of thing, which was continuously denied to you and keeping all of you pretty much like under the heel of the power group. And so so you helped lead, I guess you could call it a resurrection or a like a civil war kind of, which is called, you know, the French Revolution. Mm-hmm. And you were a man. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. very big masculine, very powerful looking and sounding person. You were a very good leader for that reason, because you believed so firmly that what you were doing, you know, was helping to correct something that was so injurious to the majority of people there, you know, outside of course, the royal party. And so you led many of the, you weren't like on, you know, where they were lopping off heads or anything like that. You didn't have anything to do with that. What you did, you led like raids upon these wealthy, well, palaces and mansions that people lived in. And you would get a group of people, men and women, would break into these homes and start collecting valuables so that you could sell them on, I guess, what we call the black market, and distribute the money so people could buy food. So that was your only intention, was if they wouldn't help, you know, feed and clothe and give jobs to the people, then you would just have to help yourself to see that it was done. Can you sense that in all at all as you try to tune into this?
Oh yeah, I can see myself doing that.
Yeah. Uh huh. Okay. And as a result, you were injured many times, but you were so dedicated and just so driven that it was almost like you couldn't even feel the pain, that you were not letting it, you know, slow you down. Of course, it did to some degree, but for the most part, you kept going until you were still relatively young. You were only in your 40s, and you led, this was one of the major palaces or castles, I don't know what you would call it, but it was owned by the head of the military of the French army. And it was massive, and they had a huge concrete wall. I was going to say brick, but it wasn't even brick. It was solid concrete wall. And it took you. You were the one that was able to somehow figure out how to get through. There was a gate, and it had grating on it. Almost, it was almost like an air vent or something, but it was covered with like steel pipes or steel rods. And somehow you were able to break that opening and get through it. And and your people, of course, you know, followed you. But inside there were horrendous, huge dogs that you were not aware of. Of course, you'd have no way of being aware of that type of thing. And you were the first one in, and you were the first one that the dogs got to, and they just tore you apart. And that's how you passed in that lifetime. And as you were passing, you were in severe pain. You could feel it, but you thought to yourself, it's worth it because the people will be free. And that was your passing thought as you moved, you know, into spirit planes of life.
Wow.
And so you never then you... You reincarnated rather rapidly. You didn't stay in the spirit side of life, and this is very unusual that you were even allowed to reincarnate before completely healing the damage that was, you know, done to the body that you had in that time, because that affects the psyche. You know, when your body's torn apart. And but even in spirit, you were so strong and powerful, I guess you convinced the Lords of Karma that that you were okay. And so you did reincarnate almost too soon. And I feel, Diana, that that's why you have had a continual, you know, accidents and pains in this lifetime, because you have to work that out. You understand?
Oh, yeah, understand? And I was mauled by a dog last year.
You
were? I was mauled by a dog last year.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Yeah. What goes on comes, isn't that amazing?
I hope down that right arm. Yep. Yep. If I hadn't interfered with if I hadn't put my left thumb in his mouth and just yelled at him to stop, he would have just kept on going because he was ripping the skin off of me. So
everything
you said, I could understand. So now all these aches and pains that I get, I can just let them go because they've been explained.
Well,
right?
Exactly. Just know that in this lifetime, you're not leading a rebellion. There is no reason for you to be in the middle of dissension constantly. And so, you know, find inner peace and find, you know, purpose and direction in your life, certainly. But realize that it's your life that you're leading and that you're growing and becoming more spiritual and more helpful and more peaceful. And there you go. Then you heal that part of your psyche that, because amazingly, we do draw the things that we think about, even if we're not thinking about them consciously. Now, you know, so start thinking consciously that you are protected, perfect, and moving ahead. How's that?
Protected, perfect, and moving ahead. Yes, I can do that one.
All righty. Good for you. God bless you.
Sounds
have a beautiful
Anna.
Year. Thanks, baby.
Okay. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Just to let people know, my next show is going to be Christmas Eve, and I have a dynamic woman pastor on who's going to speak about karma, global consciousness, and the true meaning of Christmas. So please know that I am doing a show Christmas Eve at 7:30. And Dr. McIntyre, by the way, is going to be back on February 5th at the same time. So I don't have the names of the next callers. I'm going to identify you by area code, and the person holding the longest is area code 856, and I'm bringing you live. Say, what is your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, Laura. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. Say hi to Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Dr. McIntyre.
Hi, Laura. Good to talk to you. What can I do to help you?
I would like to know what's coming up for me in the new year. Anything, any big changes?
No, I'm
well,
not
Laura,
doing
Dr. McIntyre
not
is not a psychic. She reads the Akashic Records. So she can tell you about a past life that might be connected to a concern that's going on in your current life. So if you have a major issue or some kind of fear or phobia, she can help you with that.
Well, I seem to... Well, okay, so I have recurring pattern of... I'm always striving to, you know, move on and succeed in my career, and I have ebbs and flows, and it never seems to be like a really steady pace. I'd like to try and understand why that keeps happening to me.
I'm very sorry. I didn't understand. You said you're always striving to improve yourself, and then what?
So in my career, it goes up and goes down and goes up and goes down.
What
even
does
in
that
life.
Mean, up and down? Do you lose jobs? Do you get demoted? What do you mean ups and downs?
Well, I do contract work, and I've been trying to get a permanent job for a long time, but I never get the permanent work. I always get contracts.
Uh-huh.
So there's never a feeling of stability.
And the contract work is not fulfilling and, you know, providing you with a comfortable income? Is that it?
It never feels comfortable or safe. I want to purchase a home, but I can't do it when I could be out of work for 4 months or so out of stretch.
Well, people do go to night school, you know, and are able to get their education or some kind of special training. But whatever it is that you are qualified to do is, of course, the field where you want to look for permanent employment. And if you have been successful in, you know, individual contracts with, I don't know if it's with individuals or with companies, then you should have a pretty good resume, and you just flood the market that you want to get into with your resume. And that's, you know, that has nothing to do with past lives. That just has to do with what I have experienced and witnessed other people experiencing in attaining, you know, some kind of professional status. And the reason that this is happening is I see you oh, you're in Germany. And it's, oh, you're a military officer in Hitler's Special Guard is what I'm getting. Special Guard. Oh, that is, oh, my goodness, it's troops of men assembled just to guard Hitler and his private party or, you know, personal friends that he has at any given time. And you're like almost, well, you're called a brigade leader. Now, I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds like a position of leadership. And this is actually before the assault on the Jews really, you know, becomes so massive. So you think, you know, that you're just protecting this guy that was a painter and somehow got into a real wonderful position of being the head of Germany. And so you had a great deal of respect for him, and you felt very honored to be one of those in charge of protecting his life. And what happened is one night, you decided to go out with a few of your men for kind of a night on the town. And you went to various clubs, and you got very, very drunk, as did the rest of your party. And the rest of your party, there were four or five men that were with you that you had handpicked because you thought, you know, that they'd be...
Okay. Dr. Megan, there. I'm just gonna say that none of this resonates with me, and I'm going to let David go on to the next person. But thank you so much for your time.
All right. Oh. God bless you.
Okay,
honey.
Laura. Take care. Okay.
You too.
God bless. Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I'm sorry she left before she found out what the problem was, but hopefully she can take care of herself.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, what was the trouble for her? It had me going.
The men that he picked to, you know, do the town with and get drunk, actually, they really hated him. And before the evening was over, they just pounced on him, and they killed him.
Oh.
So that was the end of that profession, because he his perspective was kind of off kilter. He didn't realize the kind of person that Hitler was, for one thing, and what he was making his men do. And, you know, stuff like that. So it's too bad. She just needs to be a little more discerning in this lifetime. And, pardon?
Oh, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on, though, to somebody.
All right, we're going to area code 978. Okay,
well,
you're live on the air. What is your name, please?
Hi, my name is Kathleen. How are
you? Hi, Kath. Good, how are you?
Good. I have a question for the doctor.
Kathleen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, dear.
Okay, this is my question. It's very debilitating for me. I have problems driving on the highway. And also, being a passenger in a car. And I want to know what that's all about.
Okay, you have a fear of driving and of
Well, especially
riding.
on the highways. And
okay, that has to
and
do
with certain
speed,
people,
sure.
with
what?
Certain people, and also with certain people, I don't feel safe with them driving in the car.
Well, why would you be with them then?
Because I have to get around.
Well, I see. Okay. Because, you know, that's the first thing. If there's people that, you know, that you're not sure of, you should find other people to associate with. That
right, but I
throw
have
lots
a problem, too, driving on the highway, and I don't know what that's about.
Okay, let's see.
I think it's pretty straightforward.
What I'm getting is back in the good old days when Rome was in its glory, and oh my goodness, there was like the original. Oh, what do you call it? What is the big? There, I can see the past life, but I'm having trouble finding the word that the Olympics. I don't know what they called them back there. But it was where, you know, the warriors and all the athletes gathered, and they had the competitions and, oh, my goodness, the training, of course, had to go on every day in preparation for this wonderful celebration, because the honor of being able to win one of these events totally made a success of the individual. They never had for want from that day on. And you were a buggy. I guess that's the only word I can think of. A buggy driver. You had horses pulling a big, well, not too big, but a two-wheel buggy, and you stood in it and directed the horses. Can you visualize that?
I can visualize it, but I don't feel it as being part of my past life. Like the things that I feel of being my past life, and that's like the 1930s, 1940s. The music, the way men dress.
Do you want me to continue, though, with what really happened and
right.
why you have this fear? So it was during the final race when the Gold Cup, they gave cups, not medals back then, but cups made of gold. And they were filled with champagne. But anyhow, the race was on, and a competitor got very close to you and locked wheels. It was an accident, but the wheels of the other buggy got caught in yours, and it caused you to just fly, like head over heels. And the buggies that were in the race, you know, behind you, they all ran over you, and it was a very horrific passing. And you thought at the time of your passing that you would never, if you ever came back to life, you would never drive fast on an open road. Because you had been thrown out on the open road. And so that was imbued in your cellular memory that you have carried forward without realizing its existence or origin. So
okay,
all you
I
have
a question. What side
can you let me finish?
Would you
let
say
me
I was hit on?
Excuse me?
What side, the left or the right, would you say I was hit on?
Well, your buggy was hit on the right side, but you flew like head over heels and your entire body back first smashed on the pavement, and then, like I said, all the buggies and horses ran over you because there was no way they could stop on a dime.
Yeah, that's funny you say the right, because that's the side I fear the most when I'm driving on the highway. That's why I asked.
Well, let me finish then. Now that you have at least hopefully seen the picture, you know, of what I've relayed to you, all you have to do now is say, well, I'm not in a horse and buggy. I'm not racing. I never will do that. I'm in car, safe and sound, with people that are good drivers, and I have nothing to fear. But be cautious who you drive with, see, because you do have that, you know, that fear that you haven't gotten rid of yet of driving, okay?
Do you think I'll get rid of it in this lifetime?
Well, fear? I can't prophesize, so I don't know. It depends on how hard you work at it. If you can convince yourself that it's never going to happen again, and there's no reason for you to continue to carry that fear, because you're never going to be in a horse and wagon again, are you?
No.
Well, there you go. So you just convince yourself it's a time of the past. It has nothing to do with your now. And get on with building the future the way you want by visualizing what it is that you want. Okay?
Okay.
All right. God bless you, hon.
Thank you. Same to you.
Okay, Kathleen. Take care, hon.
Thank you, David. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Well, Kathleen, I can relate to your fear. You're muted right now, so you can hear me but can't talk with me. But I had a past life where I was in a chariot, and I struck somebody else, and they were killed. And it's interesting because just in the last year or so, that person's come into my life, and I started developing this brand new fear about passing cars on the highway. And so I'm working with that now. And it's that person got a reading from Dr. McIntyre about that happening to her. And that's when I put 2 + 2 together.
For goodness sake.
Yeah,
well,
that
shouldn't have created the fear, you know, consciously. You have to learn, as I just told, what was her name, Linda?
Kathleen.
Kathleen. She had to, you know, just realize that that was a thing of the past and just continue to be careful and cautious and, you know.
Right.
But
right.
Not fear, because that can lock you up and cause problems.
Well, it's going away. It's going away.
Yeah.
But the fear had come to me before you gave her the reading. And then it was like I could see clearly how it had happened when you gave her the reading. That was just interesting. I could relate to Kathleen. And I just wanted to put that in there. We have one more caller. It's area code 774. And they haven't been listening for long, but to let you know, Dr. McIntyre gives past life readings, and she deals with fears and problems that you have in your current life that that she can help you to deal with by getting in touch with where the problems originated. And you're live on the air, area code 774. What is your name, please?
Hello,
can you hear me, area code 774?
Well, I guess not.
I guess not. Well, sounds like it's a wrap then. That was a great show.
Okay.
It was different.
Yeah. Okay, well, I just want to once again tell anybody that's listening, if they want to have a past life reading, it's a half-hour reading, go to my website, which is www.marilumcintyre.com, and there's a page where you can register for a reading. And I'll get in touch with you, and we'll make the arrangement. That is my website, and you can read up on, summaries and stuff from my various books and the testimonials of the healings that my regressions and readings have helped assure. And get to know me a little bit better, and then get in touch with me or email me or whatever. But remember, it's what you believe is what you will see. So you create your life in your heart, and you speak through your heart and act through your heart, and you will have a wonderful fulfilling life. God bless you.
I love it. God bless you, Dr. McIntyre, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too, David, and have a wonderful new year.
Oh, you do the same. I look forward to speaking with you on February 5th.
Absolutely. God bless you, hon, and all your listeners.
Thank you so much. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.